This is Jody Apple.
Welcome to Are You Listening? Everyone knows, at least they have a good idea, of what it is that sin is. And everyone knows, at least generally, of what it is that sin does to us. But do we know how to overcome sin? Yes, it is definitely true that the blood of Christ washes our sins away. But the blood of Christ does not make us sinlessly perfect. When we are immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, the old man of sin dies, and a new man is born. According to Romans 6:6, our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. We became new, born again of water and spirit, and we started new lives in service to the resurrected Christ. But that's not the end of the story. In fact, it's only the beginning. Even after our sins are forgiven, we still sin. Though becoming a New Testament Christian is significant, most of the New Testament focuses on how to stay faithful in Christ, that is, how to overcome sin. According to 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Christians, then, cannot claim to be sinless. So, how do we overcome sin? How does Christ help us? What, if anything, must we do? Let's get started with today's broadcast. Here's what we've observed so far in our study. In Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, we learn that God wants us to rule over, that is, to overcome sin. We've also learned that God remains faithful to His character. He never denies Himself. The point of that is, we can always trust God. We've also learned that God always informs us of His will and that He always does so in advance of when and why we need to know it. We've also found that God reveals everything that we need to know, everything that we need for life and godliness. God created man in His image to reflect His nature to the world. When we sin, we restrict the world's visibility of God through us. We've also noted that actions of sin are usually categorized as either falling short of or going beyond God's will. But we've also noted that sin arises from attitudes that are out of harmony with God's will. Sin creates a false world of lies and deceptions, and Satan continues to function as the originator of that false world of lies and deceptions. We learn that we, mankind, are responsible for sin, and that sin exists because of Satan's relentless battles against God. In our most recent studies, we examined the origin of sin, some of our attempts to cover sin, the role of man's conscience, and how it is that God covers or atones for sin through His love. Today, we will examine these topics: God's promise, sin can be overcome, and that our acceptance and fellowship with God comes about as a result of overcoming sin. Let's examine today's thoughts. We go back to the beginning. Sin can be overcome. Though God warned against, lamented, and punished mankind because of sin, He still provided a way for us to overcome it. That promise appears for the first time in Genesis 3:15, "And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." This passage, often referred to as the first gospel, paves the way for the rest of God's revelation. Through the remaining pages of the first covenant, God unveils His eternal plan through a series of narrowing seed lines, or genealogies. Starting with Eve, it continues through Abraham and the patriarchs, through Jacob as a family, and then Israel as a nation. It then tapers through the Davidic kings and arrives, finally, at the singular end of them all, Jesus the Christ. There are many related themes and sub-themes revealed along the way, including these. 1. The ongoing battle between man and Satan. In Genesis 3:15, God predicted enmity between the serpent, that is Satan, and mankind. That tension started in Eden, but Satan's attempts to deceive mankind certainly did not end there. Thousands of years later, Peter warned New Testament Christians about Satan's continued attempts to delude God's people. Be sober, he said. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Satan remains what he has been since rebelling against God, an accuser, an adversary, a destroyer, an enemy, a liar, and a murderer. We also noted that there's an ongoing battle between the Godhead and Satan. The ongoing battle between mankind and Satan reflects an even greater conflict on a cosmic scale. Satan, by tempting man to sin, tempts man to turn away from, that is, against God. Satan's greater desire is to challenge and to overthrow God. For this reason, Scripture often portrays the real conflict between God and Satan on the grandest of stages. Satan and his angels waged war against God and his angels in heaven, Revelation 12. Satan tempted Christ repeatedly, Matthew chapter 4. And Satan and his minions passed themselves off as if they were God's angels, God's apostles, and so forth. Because of all of this, Satan gained an apparent, though temporary, victory over Christ. Satan was responsible for the death of Christ, but that was, as Genesis 3:15 indicates, nothing more than a bruise to Christ's heel. The greater victory belongs to Christ. We see that as we think about Christ's real and permanent victory over Satan, as it's expressed in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and starting in verse 53. This is what we read. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's 1 Corinthians 15, 53-57. We also note this in Ephesians 4, verse 8. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. The latter part of 1 John chapter 3, verse 8 also reflects this truth, that Christ gained a permanent victory over Satan, where we read, For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. That sin can be overcome is demonstrated in the most practical of senses in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, where we read, No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. Note this, we are never so uniquely tempted that our temptation is unlike anyone else's. Next, we will never be tempted beyond our ability to resist that temptation. And finally, note also, there is always a way out, always a way of escape, that we might be able to bear it. God knows what we are, and God allows us time and opportunity to learn what sin is, how bad sin is, what its consequences are, and then God gives us time to change. God's long-suffering or forbearance is our salvation, according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. God knows our frame, that we are but dust, Psalm 103:14, and God provides ample and repeated opportunity for us to learn. Look, for example, in Amos chapter 4, beginning in verse 6. God stands ready to forgive us of our sins, Psalm 86 and verse 5, and God is abundant in mercy, same passage, Psalm 86, verse 15. God does not immediately condemn us when we sin, Psalm 103, verse 10, and always punishes us in the context of life less than we deserve. Notice, for example, Ezra chapter 9, verse 3. This passage and many others teaches us that we can overcome sin. It is one of the major themes of the text of Revelation. if you overcome, then God says, you can come over and live with me throughout eternity. If we resist the devil, he will flee from us, James 4:7. If we draw near to God, God will draw near to us. Our armor that we are to wear, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 and following, was designed to ward off Satan's attacks. That roaring lion who persistently comes after us can be resisted, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 and 9. Greater is he that is within us than he that is in the world, 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Therefore, we can overcome sin. That is, we can refrain from abiding in sin, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 6. And when we do so, God accepts us when we do well, when we overcome sin. That's the principle that we saw first in Genesis 4 verse 7. God accepts us when we do well. That truth is reflected throughout the biblical text. God does not accept us, however, when we do not do well. This principle, the flip side of the first one we just noted, also appears everywhere in God's redemptive plan. When we fail to do well, we are not only unacceptable in God's sight, we subject ourselves to further sin. Sin lies at the door. The initial consequences of sin often cascades into an extended litany of sins. What's the solution? The solution is revealed, in part anyway, in what Peter told Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse 35. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him.